When I was a new birder in 1975, one bird that is all too abundant now wasn't so easy to come by, at least not in big cities. One of my field guides said you could recognize a crow in flight because you could count its wing beats. You couldn't do that with blackbirds. Luckily, I was from Chicago and living in Lower Michigan, so I didn't have ravens to confound the issue. Every time I saw a large black bird in flight, I tried to count the wing beats. The first time I teased a crow identification from that system was March 17, 1975, at the Morton Arboretum outside Chicago, and I was delighted. Watching them in flight and then alighting here and there, I was certain that what we'd called crows as children were definitely not crows. 4 days later, when I saw my first grackles, I recognized them as the birds we'd been misidentifying for so long. That whole year, I depended on the wing beat count to recognize crows in flight. I'm glad I stuck with the discipline for so many months. That made me keep every blackbird in view for as many seconds as it passed by, and I started getting quicker at noticing the epaulets, or at least the whitish stripe edging them on red wings, and the longer keeled tail on grackles. And little by little, I started noticing the heavier bill, the more massive proportions, and other little nuances that make crows what they are. Of course, crows are much more than their identifying marks. Many birds give us such brief looks that all we really appreciate are the field marks until we've seen them so many times to be able to tease out more about their lives than just their identities. In 1975, crows hadn't moved into most urban areas yet, but the process was already beginning. They were still very wary of humans, these intelligent birds that learn from their parents a lot of the important information they need to negotiate their lives. Young crows are much more credulous than human children when it comes to parental warnings. That first year in particular, they seem to shy away from everything their parents ever told them to avoid. When I was rehabbing, I learned that first-year crows beyond the nestling stage, identifiable by red mouth linings, were essentially impossible to tame or even to calm down when being handled, even after months of gentle care. Older crows sometimes have learned to take their parents' words with a grain of salt, but baby crows are fearful of every single thing they associate with a cautionary caw. If we humans were like crows, every single person who ever attended the DARE program would never, ever drink, smoke, or try illegal drugs, probably even shying away from aspirin for life. Crows are shockingly intelligent, and even as they grow independent with plenty of parental warnings to guide them, they reason out entirely on their own strategies for dealing with new situations. Two crows in my neighborhood, observing my neighbor's routine of feeding their Springer Spaniel outside when they put her out for the day before they drove off to work, would fly in the moment the car engine started, land right next to the dog, lower their heads, and walk directly toward her in a deliberate, menacing way. She'd back away slowly, they'd jump on her dish, and each fill its gular pouch with as much food as could be crammed in, and fly off. They taught their fledglings this method of taking food from gullible dogs, too. During one autumn when we had a huge warbler fallout in Duluth, several crows and blue jays, their close relatives, would sit near or on stoplights waiting for the traffic to stop. The moment it was safe, they'd fly in and grab any hapless warblers, dead or still alive, that had been struck by cars in the previous light cycle. They'd stash their booty in tree crevices and fly back in time for the next red light. One of the most intelligent crows known to people is a captive New Caledonian crow who learned to pick up straight wires and bend them to form hooks, which she uses to pull food out of a long tube. People have finally started to recognize tool use in some animals, but this is the only known case of a bird actually fashioning the tool specifically for one purpose. This particular crow's mate doesn't fashion tools himself, but helpfully brings the wires to his mate. When she's pulled the food out, he takes it away from her. Which is the more intelligent approach of getting a meal? You tell me. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and Binoculars.com. This program in particular is for Vicky, a WXPR supporter. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the Birds.